Today's daf is Kiddushin daf Ayin Gimel. We are holding on daf Ayin Beis and Beis. We're about three lines from the end of the page in daf Ayin Beis and Beis. First thing Gemara is going to talk about a ger marrying a mamzeres, whether a ger is permitted to marry a mamzeres. We're going to have a machlokas tanaim. The Gemara is going to have three different explanations for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a ger may not marry a mamzeres. Then the Gemara is going to move on to discuss whether a ger may marry a kohenes. It's going to tell us a story of people who are darshaning in communities of gerim about these issues and which of these halachos was popular by the gerim, which was unpopular by the gerim. Then the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the Isra of a Shtuki and the Isra of an Asufi that we mentioned in the Mishnah. A Shtuki is someone who knows who his mother is but not his father, and Asufi is someone who knows neither. And the Gemara is going to tell us that neither of these Isurim are Daoraisa, both of them are Darabanan. We're going to try to find out what the Darabanan is exactly, what the Darabanan were concerned about. On the top of Amud Beis, we're going to have a list of exceptions to the Isra of Asufi. In what case can you find an abandoned child and not label the child an Asufi? The Gemara is going to discuss until when the parents are believed to identify a child as their own child, and at what point do you just say, you know what, he's an Asufi and no couple can come and claim that he's necessarily theirs. Then the Gemara is going to have three cases where someone's ne'emanus is only immediate but is gone after some delay, such as the case of parents identifying a child as their own. That once there's some delay and the child has already been labeled an Asufi, it's too late. So there are two other cases where someone's ne'emanus is on a time limit, and as soon as a certain time limit passes, they no longer have that ne'emanus, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of ne'emanus of a variety of different people, of ne'emanus of a midwife to tell us the yichus of children that she delivered. And then tomorrow's daf, we're going to have ne'emanus of a bal mekach to say that he sold an item to this person, not to that person. Ne'emanus of a dayan to say that I paskind for that this one is zocha and this one is chayiv. So we're going to have all sorts of issues of ne'emanus. But let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page on ayin beis on beis. Tan rabbanan. Ger nosei mamzeres div Rabbi Yossi. A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda omer ger lo yisa mamzeres. Rabbi Yehuda says no, a ger may not marry a mamzeres. Echad ger, echad eved meshuchrar v'cholol mutarim b'kohenes. But a ger, an eved meshuchrar v'cholol, even these people who are not considered to have such high levels of yichus, are allowed to marry a kohenes, a female kohen. Even though a kohen would not be allowed to marry a giores, a shivcha, a chalala, but nevertheless, a kohen, a ger, a meshuchrar, an eved meshuchrar, and a chol are allowed to marry a kohenes. My time at Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that a ger is permitted to marry a mamzeres? Chamisha kol iksivi. It uses the word kal five times to differentiate between five different groups that are all called kahal. They're all considered to be part of the kahal. Chad the kohanim, v'chad the levim, v'chad the yisraelim, v'chad the mishri mamzer b'shtuki. One to tell us that a mamzer is allowed to marry a shtuki, v'chad the mishri shtuki b'yisrael, and one to tell us that a shtuki is allowed to marry a yisrael. But kahal gerim lo ikri kahal. But gerim are not included in kahal, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzer, because the only isser for a mamzeres is a lo yavo mamzer bikal Hashem, that there is an isser of mamzerus in kal Hashem. But if kal gerim is lo ikri kal, then there's no prohibition for a mamzer, for a ger to marry a mamzer, for a mamzer to marry a ger, since gerim are not considered to be kahal. Now the Gemara says, had it said only one time kal, what's clear in the Gemara, we would have said that only kohanim are aser in isuri yuchsin, because they're considered more kahal than anyone else. And if it would have said one additional time kal, it would have said only twice, we would have said that it comes to aser levim as well, that only kohanim and levim, they're considered more so kahal than Yisraelim are. Yisraelim, however, would have been mutter. So you see, from the way the Gemara makes these drashos, that Kohanim are more of a kahal than Levim. Levim are more kahal than Kohanim, meaning relative to Yisraelim, they are more a more intense level of kal. So fractal Tosos Harash, the Gemara in Horios Tavavim Beis tells us that the exact opposite is true. That Kohanim and Levim are not kal because they don't have an achuz in Eretz Yisrael. That only one who gets a portion of Eretz Yisrael is in fact really considered an intense level of kal. So that would put Kohanim and Levim at a lower level of kal than the Yisraelim, not a higher level. So it answers the Tosos Harash that over here it says kal Hashem, and it's mustaver to say that they're more kedoshim, that they are more of a kal Hashem than Yisraelim are. In terms of are they kahal, say nachinami, maybe they are not quite as much kahal as Yisraelim, because part of being the kihila of Klal Yisrael relates to Achuzah Be'eretz Yisrael, that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is such that our identity as Klal Yisrael is very much tied up with our connection to the land. And he who does not have Achuzah Be'eretz, the Kohanim and the Levim, are not as intense a form of kal because they don't have. But when you talk about kal Hashem, you talk about their kedusha. Well, certainly we have the Kohanim and the Levim are going to have a higher level of kedusha. They have a more intense level of kahal Hashem. Now that's one point. Another point: the Shara Melech quotes from the Elio Rabba that only a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter, but a Suffolk, meaning we're going to see in this Gemara that we just saw that Chad L'Mishri Shtuki Bi Yisrael. What's a Shtuki? A Shtuki, we don't know what he is. We have no idea who his father is. He might be a Mamzer. And the reason that a Shtuki is Mutter is because even though he might be a Mamzer, the Halacha is a Vaday Mamzer is Aser Bekal Hashem, but a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter Bekal Hashem. What about a suffix about all the other yuchsin? What about a suffix Amoni, suffix Moavi? So the Shara Melech quotes from the Eli Rabba that a suffix Amoni and Moavi are aser. And the raya is from the Gemara in Brachos Tav Chav Ches that bezman hazeh a ger Amoni is mutter because Sancheirov was mevalbel as kol umos. He mixed around all the nations, and we follow the rov that he's probably not an Amoni. Whoever it is that you think might be an Amoni, rov is that he's not. But if a suffix Amoni were mutter, why do you need to say that we follow the rov? Even if it wasn't a rov, even if it was a 50-50 suffix, it would be mutter. So says Elio Rabba, must be that a suffix Amoni is aser. But the Elio Rabba says, no, how do I know that kal that it says by Mamzer is memayit a suffix Mamzer, and the kal that it says by Amoni teaches us other limudim and is not memayit a suffix Amoni? So he says they must have had such a kabbalah biyadam that that's how the darshan, that you darshan kal differently when it's used in the connection with the Mamzer than you do when it's used in connection with Amoni. The Shara Melech, however, disagrees. He says a Suffolk Amoni is Mutter, that Kal Echad is coming to be Matir Suffolk, and there's no reason to say that Dafka, the word Kal, in the context of Mamzer, is being Matir Suffolk, or Dafka, the Kal, that in the context of Amoni is coming to be Matir the Suffolk. All the Isuri Kal, where it says Kal, the case of Suffolk would be Mutter, whether it's a Suffolk Mamzer, Suffolk Amoni. Aye, what about the fact that we said in the Gemara Brachos that the reason you're allowed to marry a person who might be an Amoni is that you could follow the Rov that they're not an Amoni? Sounds like if it were a Suffolk, there would be a problem. So Shara Melech says that had it not been the din of a Rov, you're right, Midah Raisa, it would have been Mutter anyway because of Suffolk. But Midah Rabbanan, we would have asked it because the Rabbanan asked Sveikos, as we're about to see a little bit later on in this Amud. So it's only because of the Rov that we say that it's Mutter Midrabanan. That's why the Gemara Brachos emphasized the role of Rov. So anyway, that was the explanation of Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's explanation? Why does Rabbi Yehuda think a ger may not marry a mamzeres? Because Rabbi Yehuda would say, Kohanim Levim Ichad Kal Nafki. Kohanim and Levim are included in one limud from the word kal. They're in one category. So we have an extra kal, Ayasar Leil Kal Gerim. One extra kal to tell us kal gerim. That gerim are also called a kal. So when we say that a mamzer is not allowed to marry a kal, it means a mamzer can't even marry a ger. So that's the source of Rabbi Yehuda. V'iba Yisema, second possible source of Rabbi Yehuda, Hachanami Trei Kahali Ninhu. Mamzer B'shtuki, even if you say that Kohanim and Levim are two different kal, but mamzer b'shtuki v'shtuki b'Yisrael michad kal nafka. both the heter of a mamzer to marry a shtuki, as well as the heter of a shtuki to marry a regular Jew, are derived from the same word kahal, meaning it seems unusual. If a regular Jew is not allowed to marry a mamzer, which we know is definitely the case, why is it that a shtuki is allowed to marry either one, either a regular Jew or a mamzer? Meaning, what's the shtuki? The shtuki is either, we don't know what he is. He might be a mamzer or he might be a regular Jew. So one would have imagined that you have to label him, to tell us that he's a regular Jew and therefore he's allowed to marry a regular Jew and not allowed to marry a mamzer, or call him a mamzer and tell us that he's allowed to marry mamzeres but he's not allowed to marry a regular Jew. But we know the halacha is not that way. That the halacha is that a shtuki can marry whomever. He can marry a regular Jew and he can marry a mamzer. And we learned it all from one word, kal. Why? Pasuk says, lo yavo mamzer bikal Hashem. And what do we darshan from there? Mamzer vadehu lo yavo. Hamamzer safek yavo. That it's only if you can definitively define someone as a mamzer, that's where he can't be yavo bikal Hashem. But if he's only a shtuki, then he can marry a regular person. And who can't a mamzer marry? Bikal vadehu lo yavo. A mamzer can't marry someone who you can definitively say is part of kal Hashem. Habikal safek yavo. But if a person is a safek mamzer, then a mamzer is allowed to marry such a safek mamzer. So that's how we know Rabbi Yehuda's shita that kal gerim zikri kal, because both the heter of a mamzer to a shtuki and the heter of a shtuki to Yisrael is from one kal, so we're left with an extra kal to teach us that gerim are also called kahal, and that's why a mamzer is not allowed to marry a ger, or a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzer. V'iba yisem, a third possible explanation of why a ger would not be allowed to marry a mamzer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, hani nami trei kahalininu. The heter of a mamzer to a shtuki, the heter of Yisrael to a shtuki, both of those need two separate words, kahal. And it's not from the word kahal that we learn that gerim are usher to mamzerim. V'taymid Rabbi Yehuda mehacha. It's from the following pasuk: Hakel chuka achas lachem v'lager hagar. The pasuk says hakol chuka achas lachem v'lager hagar. So we see that ger hagar is considered kahal. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi would say no, chuka achas hivsek inyan. It says hakol. Period. Chuka achas is separates the words lager hagar from hakel, from hakahal. So you see that that ger is not necessarily considered to be kahal, and therefore a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. Good. So that's the machlokas tanaim. Is a ger allowed to marry a mamzeres? Says Rabbi Yossi that a ger may marry a mamzeres. Says Rabbi Yehuda a ger may not marry a mamzeres. And here were all the drashas about why each one may hold their opinion. Now says the Gemara, echad ger v'echad echad meshuchra evan meshuchrar v'chalal mutarim b'kohenes. A ger, an evan meshuchrar, a chalal, a man who has any of these yichus issues is allowed to marry a kohenes, a woman who is very much miyuchas. Misayele l'rav. This is a raya to Rav. Dam Rav Yidam Rav. Lo huzru ksheros li'nasi l'psulim. There is no iser for ksheros to marry psulim, for ksheros women to marry psulim. Why not? So the Ritva writes in the name of the Ravid that since the pasuk says isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu, and it doesn't say lo yavo chalal bekal kuhuna, like it says lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem, so we learn that only kohanim are not allowed to marry nashim hapsulos l'kuhuna, but a kohanes, there's no iser for a kohanes to marry men who would otherwise be possible, gerim and chalalim, unlike a mamzer, where even a mamzer man, where a Yisraelis is not allowed to marry a mamzer man. Second possibility, the Rambam writes in Yisrei Bir Parakitas Alach Yir Aleph, that we learn from the fact that it says B'nei Aaron and not B'nos Aaron, that most of the restrictions that we place on Kohanim are only for the men and not for the women. So Mela, Kohanes, is allowed to marry all of the types of psulim that a Kohen, a male Kohen, would not be allowed to marry.
Ari. And the third possibility is what it says in Shiltas Rav Chaygon, Shilta Kuv Dalet, that the whole reason Kohanim are usher in the Isuri Kuhuna is so that their children should not be mischalil from Kedushas Kuhuna. Meaning the way the system is set up is that Kohanim are supposed to have sons who are Kohanim and who are able to continue that line of Kuhuna. So therefore, all the Psule Kuhuna would make sense. All the people that a Kohen is not allowed to marry would only make sense for the male Kohen because his children are going to be Kohanim. But a female Kohenes, her children, she doesn't determine the Kohuna of her children anyway. So we're much less sensitive about who she marries. We don't care if her kids are unable to be Kohanim. She's not, her kids aren't going to be Kohanim anyway. It has nothing to do with her, whether her kids are Kohanim. So that's why that Lo Huzruk Sheros Linasi Lipsulim. Darish Rabbi Zeru B'Machuza. Rabbi Zeru went to the town of Machuza where apparently there were a lot of Gerim, and he darshed Ger mutter b'mamzeres. A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Ragmu kuli alma be'esrogaihu. So everyone started stoning him with their esrogim. They started throwing their esrogim. It must have been around Sukkot's time. I don't know why else everyone would have had esrogim. So they started throwing their esrogim at him. So because they were upset. What do you mean? We're such low lives that we're allowed to marry a mamzeres. This was not a very good decision of his to make that the topic of his shir when he goes to the town full of gerim, that he's going to make the topic of his shir. Gerim are allowed to marry mamzeres. Dorish Rava b'machuza, Rava darshin din machuza, ger mutter b'kohenes, that a ger is allowed to marry a girl of the highest yichus of a kohenes, tanu b'shirai, so they honored him and they gave him nice silk cloth because they were gerim and this spoke nicely of them. Hadar darish lu, then he said, oh, I also have another shir. You like the first one? Ger mutter b'mamzeres. So he gave another shir about how ger is mutter b'mamzeres. Armalev, Sidla Kamaisa. They said, well, we used to like you but you just, whatever benefit we had from the first year, you just lost by giving that second year and saying that we're on a lower level. He said, what are you talking about? I'm doing what's best for you. You have all the options in front of you. I'm making sure there's no shidduch crisis. You can marry whoever you want. You're not limited. Your field is not limited. And the halacha is like that, that a ger is allowed to marry both a kohenes and a mamzeres. Mutter b'kohenes lo zuk sheres l'nasi l'psulim. A ger is allowed to marry a kohenes because a kohenes has no iser for psulim. But mutter b'mamzeres, Rabbi Yossi, a ger is also allowed to marry a mamzeres, like Rabbi Yossi's shita, not like Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that we explained on the top of the amud. Good, we're on the first wide line now, ayin gimel amud alav. Elu hein shtuki. Kol Shemakir. So the Mishnah said, what is a shtuki? Someone who knows who his mother is, but has no idea who his father is. That is a shtuki. Amar Rav Dvar Torah shtuki kasher. On a Doraisa level, Rav says, a shtuki would be kasher. The whole issur of shtuki is only mitrabanan. My time, why would on a Doraisa level a shtuki be considered automatically kasher? We have no idea who the father is. He might be a mamzer, he might be anything. So why do we assume a shtuki is kasher? Rov ksheira metzla, umiyut psulin etzla. Of all the possibilities of who the father of this child is, most of the possibilities are people who are kasher, who the child would not have messed up yichus. It's a miut or apostle. The azi inu legaba. So if we assume that the man visited the woman's apartment, the woman's home, to conceive this child, so then we assume that that man came from the rov, called the parish, meruba parish. Whenever anything is not in its original location, we assume that it emerged from the rov. So we can assume that this man who is the father of this child is from the rov ksherin. My amrit, what are you going to say otherwise? Dilma azla ihi ligabayu. So what's the counterpoint going to be? That maybe it's not that the man had gone to the woman's home to conceive the child. Maybe the woman had gone to the man's home to conceive the child, and therefore the man was kavua in his place, so you're not going to follow the rov. Havale kavua, v'kol kavua k'mechtsal mechtsadami. Whenever something is kavua in its place, the halacha is, we always assume that no matter what the percentages actually are, we always treat it like a 50-50 safek. V'atara amra lo yavo mamzer, and the Torah says lo yavo mamzer, mamzer vadayu de lo yavo, ha-mamzer safek yavo, that a mamzer vaday is not allowed to be yavo b'kal Hashem, but a mamzer safek is mutter, and b'kal vadayu de lo yavo, Habakal Safik Yavo, and it's only Kalvadai that a Mamzer is not allowed to marry, but Kal Safik, someone who's a Safik, a Mamzer is allowed to marry. So all of this is why shtuki is mutter midaraisa, even if it's a 50-50, by suffik mamzer, we're mekel. The halacha is, even on a 50-50 suffik, we're mekel. So that's why midaraisa, it's good. Midaraisa, we have no problem with a shtuki. Now there is a major machlokas rishonim about suffik daraisa l'chumra in general. What is the nature of the din, suffik daraisa l'chumra? The Rashba and the Ran quote from the Rambam in the Tshuva that prove from here that by Kalat Arakula, if there's a Safik Isser, we go look on the fact that we say Safik Daraisa Lukumra is only a Din Midrabanan. That on a Daraisa level, we would say Safik Daraisa Lukula. Whenever we say Safik Daraisa Lukumra, that itself is only a Din Drabanan. The Rashba and the Ran themselves disagree with that Rambam. They say Adraba. Since over here you need a Pasuk to be Matir the Safik, sounds like in Kalat Torah, Safik Isser would be l'chumra mida oraisa in kalatarukula, because over here we're saying, oh, this suffix is mutter based on a pasuk bekal vadai mamzer vadai. But had it not been for that pasuk, then we would have said that suffix da oraisa l'chumra, and apparently that would therefore be a din da oraisa. The Rashba and the Ran prove further against the Rambam from the fact that we say that if a person eats a chaticha that's suffix chelev, he's not sure if what he ate was non kosher food. He brings in Asham Talui. Now, if Mida Raisa were Makel on a Safik Isser, why does he have to bring an Asham Talui? Mida Raisa, he could have been Makel. And even though there's one Shita in Mesechus Krisitaf Yud Zayin that holds only if it's Ikvi Isura, does he bring an Asham Talui if you know for sure that there was a piece of Chelev there? But it doesn't sound that if it were not Ikvi Isura, it would be Sveika Lukula, because then the whole Machlokus would only be about an Asham Talui. It would not only be about an Asham Talui, but by any Safek that's not Ikvi Isura, would be Machmir. So this is a major discussion. The Rambam versus the Rashba, Safek Daraisa L'chumra, is that a Din Daraisa? Is it a Din Darabanan? Our Gemara is one of the Marmakamos in that Sugya, because our Gemara assumes that a Safek Mamzer is Mutter. So do we say, oh, you see, Safek, it's Daraisa, and on a daraisa level, it's mutter. So it's a raya that suffik daraisa lukula. Is it that suffik daraisa on a daraisa level would be lukula? Or do you say no? It's a raya the other way, because we need a pasuk to tell me to be meku, implying that the standard position is suffik daraisa on a daraisa level would be lechumra. But be that as it may, what our gemara certainly establishes is that a shtuki on a daraisa level would be mutter. So why is it that the rabbanan asked a shtuki? Umatam amru shtuki pasul. Why is it that the Rabbanan came along and said and declared that a shtuki is going to be pasul? Gezeira shami yisa achos me'aviv. Since we don't know who his father is, whoever he marries, we have to be concerned, might be his sister from his father, because we don't know who his father is. So Elamayata says, well, if that were the case, if it were not about his lower level of yichus, but rather it's about the practical concern that he may accidentally run into his sister and marry her, then shtuki shtukis lo yisa. Then a shtuki should not be able to marry a shtukis, because even though they are both on an equally low level of yichus, neither one of them knows who their father is, so that only increases the chances that their father may be the same person. So a shtuki should not be allowed to marry a shtukis. Shami yisa achos me'aviv. After all, he might run into his sister. Says Gemara, kol kihai mazanu vazli. You're going to assume that it's one guy having so many kids going around and having, it's one thing that a guy misbehaves and he has one child who does not know to identify him as a father. But you think it's going to happen that it's going to be the same guy that has fathered multiple children? So I would have said yes, meaning that these types of guys normally don't do it once. They'll father multiple children and not. But the Gemara says, well, come on, what are the chances of that? So says, well, okay, still, but then if it's not about the yichus and it's just about a practical concern that he might marry a sibling or a relative, bas shtukis lo yisa, then a shtukis should not be allowed to marry the daughter of a shtukis who's also on a low level of yichus, because shami yisa achos me'aviv, he might end up marrying his sister from his father. Elo lo shchicha. No, what you got to say is that it's not shchiach. You don't have to be concerned he's going to marry his sister from his father. So achnami lo shchicha. So then marrying a shtuki, marrying anybody, marrying any kosher, is not shchiach that he's going to run into his sister, and it should not be a problem. So why is it that a shtuki is not allowed to marry a regular person? Ella mala asu biyuchsin. No, what you have to say is this was an extra chumrah that they accepted when it came to yichus. That when it came to yichus, we made an extra chumrah that a shtuki is not allowed to marry a regular person. The Marit in the Tshuva Yardei Siman Aleph raises the question: why don't we say that the Rabbanim made a geder in the Siyag LaTorah, like we find in many other places? Meaning the Gemara says, "Matam amru shtuki pasul." Why do we say shtuki is pasul? Maybe we could say that if a mamzer is pasul, the Rabbanim made a siyag that a suffik mamzer should also be pasul, even though on a daraisa level a suffik mamzer is kasher. So the Marit says that since the Torah is matir b'toras vaday, that even if it's goli klape shemayim, that he's a mamzer, if it's a suffik to us, it's mutter, so the chachamim have no right to ask with a geder and a siyag. Meaning when we have a special drasha to teach me that a suffik mamzer is mutter, the chachamim are not authorized to be matir with a geder and a siyag. Similar to what the Pnei Yeshua says, that since the Torah is matir beferush this suffik, it's not shaykh to be machmir midrabanan. Similar to what the Taz writes in Yardei Asim and Kufiyat Zayin, where the Taz says there are limits to the rabbinic authority in making dinim drabanan. When something is mefurash bekra, when you have something explicit in the Torah, the rabbanan are not allowed to make a din that goes against that which is mefurash b'kra. They can make dinim that are against dinim d'araisa as long as those dinim d'araisa are not mefurash b'kra. Once it's mefurash b'kra, it's too strong a d'araisa for the Rabbanan to make a geder and a siyag against. So that was all about a shtuki. Now we're going to move on to a very similar conversation about an asufi. V'amarava dvar Torah asufi kasher. On a daraisa level, an asufi is also kasher. What's an asufi? Someone who has no idea who his mother or his father is. He was an abandoned baby. So on a daraisa level, an asufi is kasher. My time, eshes ish b'bayla tola. Because we assume that if the child was born of a mother who was married, so probably the father was that woman's husband. My ika miut arusa. So what are you worried about? Maybe the mother was not a married woman. Maybe she was only an arusa. Or maybe she was a married woman, but her husband had gone to Medina Sayyam, and she became pregnant anyway, even though her husband wasn't home, which obviously doesn't bode well for the yichus of the child. Well, kivendika pnuya. But if the mother were single, then there's no problem, because it's not nice. It's not the yeshivish thing to do to have children out of wedlock, but it's not gonna make the child a puzzle. The ikanami de machmas ravon hava. And sometimes a baby is abandoned not because he's a mamzer or because he's some sort of yichus problem. It's because the parents just don't have the ability to feed him. They don't have the money to feed him because there's famine. Sava palgu palgu. We view it at least as a 50-50 suffix whether this child is a mamzer or not. And we, after all, we have that drasha that a mamzer is not allowed to marry kal Hashem. Mamzer vaday udlo yavo, a mamzer safek yavo. That only someone who's definitely a mamzer is not allowed to marry bekal Hashem, but someone who's a safek mamzer is allowed to marry bekal Hashem. And bekal vaday udlo yavo, ha bekal safek yavo. A mamzer is not allowed to marry someone who's definitely bekal Hashem, but a mamzer is allowed to marry someone who might be bekal Hashem. So on a daraisa level, the asufi can marry whomever. He can marry a mamzer, he can marry a regular Jew. Ummatam amru asufi pasul. So why is it that we say that an asufi is pasul? Shema yisa chosame aviv. Again, it's a concern that maybe he will marry his sister since he doesn't know who his parents are. Elameata asufi asufis lo yisa. Well, if that were the case, then an asufi should not even be allowed to marry an asufis. Because shema yisa achosav bein me'aviv bein me'imo, he might marry his sister, whether it be his sister on his father's side or his sister on his mother's side, because neither one knows who their mother is. When he's going to marry someone who's from a regular family, so he might end up marrying his sister from his father's side, because you don't know that man, the father of the girl from the regular family, might have fathered another child. The mother, you know, didn't mother another child, because people would have noticed her being pregnant for 9 months. So you don't have to worry about him marrying his sister from his mother. But if it's an asufi and an asufis, now your concern is doubled. He may be marrying his sister from his father's side. He may be marrying his sister from his mother's side, because neither of them know who their mother or their father is. So I answer Gemara, Kalhani Shadi Viazli. Why, you think that many of the woman is going to be abandoning all of her children? That really is going to be the parents are going to be abandoning so many children? It can't be. It's not likely that 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 he's actually marrying his sister when an Asufi marries an Asufis. So Frank Lamar, okay, but Bas Asufi lo yisa, Shem yisa achoso. An Asufi should not be allowed to marry a Bas Asufi because he might marry his sister. No, it must be the reason we're not concerned about these things is that it's not really common that he's going to actually run into his sister, and of all the women in the world that he's going to choose to marry, the one that he chooses is going to happen to be his sister. So, affecting Marahachanami lo shchiach. Well, then in a Sufi should be allowed to marry any regular girl. What are you worried about? Chances are it's not going to be his sister. So why is it that an Asufi midrabanan is not allowed to marry a regular girl? Elamala asubi yuchsim. It's a special chumra they made dafka in the world of yichus that he's not allowed to marry a regular girl. So says the Gemara, Amma Rava Bar Rav Huna, Mitzo'um Mahul. You know, we've been talking about labeling the child an Asufi when he's an abandoned child. At what point do you assume that he's really an Asufi and he's probably possible? And when do we say something else happened over here? This child is probably kosher, but something else happened. So Gemara is going to give a number of exceptions. First exception, mitzaum mahul. You find the baby as a bris mila. So ein bo mishum asufi. That's not going to be an issue of an asufi. If you were not kosher, they would not have bothered giving him a mila. The fact that they bothered with giving him a mila is an indication that he's a kosher child. So the Meiri writes that Yira Eli says the Meiri that if he's found mahul and it's clear that this mila was done bidei adam, that it was he was not nolad mahul, he wasn't born with this mila, even in a city of Goyim, we treat him like a Jew, that we assume that he's a Jew, because only a Jewish parent would have given the mila. The Hafla writes that an Asufi who's Mahul has a din of Yisrael, even in a city that's Rov Goyim, because it's not Shchiach that someone would be nolad mahul. So apparently it's machlokas. The Meiri assumes that it's not everyone who's mahul is automatically assumed to be a Jew. It has to be evident that that mila was done by human hands and that that mila was not nolad mahul. Every once in a while you have a child who's nolad mahul. I once had a parent come into parent teacher conferences and tell me, you should know my child was nolad mahul. He's a special young man. He was nolad mahul. It didn't help him in Gemara, but he was nolad mahul. The Chuvas Yeshuas Malko, he discusses the case of a Goya and a Goya who come with a baby that's Mahul, and they tell a story about this baby. They have this child that's Mahul, and they say that, and everyone thought it was their child. And they say, no, what happened was there was a single Jewish girl who gave us this baby to nurse, and we now don't know who she is, and it's 2 years, and we want to give the baby back to the Jewish people because we know that it's a Jewish child. So do we believe them or do we not believe them? So the Yeshuas Malka writes three snifim lahakel. He said to say that it is a Jewish child. He says first of all the Rashba and the Ran write that only a miyut of children are nolad mahul, and you don't have to be. It's such a tiny miyut, you don't have to be choshish for the miyut of babies that are nolad mahul. Second of all, he says you could see b'chush that those that are nolad mahul, the mila doesn't look the same as a mila that's done by human hands. There are always some tzitzin amechubarim that are still there when a baby's nolad mahul. They're not ma'akev, they're not tzitzin ma'akvin, but there are tzitzin that are still there. And 30 says, this child wasn't coming from a Yishmaeli family, it was coming from a Nozri family, it was coming from a Christian family, not from a Muslim family. So it doesn't make sense that they would have given him a mila, because that's not what they do. A Muslim family, you could assume, would have given him a mila. So for those reasons, he says, we should do further research and try to come to some clearer knowledge, but he says that for those reasons we can assume that the baby is in fact a Jew. The Gemara goes on with a list of exceptions or potential exceptions to who is considered an Asufi. Mishalte hadme, if his limbs were straightened out, ein bo mishum Asufi. You do not assume the child is an Asufi because obviously someone was caring for this child. Shayef Mishcha, if he was anointed with oil, Malakuchla, or they put Kchol, which is some type of makeup around his eyes to make him look nice, Rami Chumri, they tied knots around him as a way that was a superstition they had for a refuah, Talipitka, or he had some sort of kameya that was written that was hanging around his neck or around his ankle or something. Talikamea, he had a kameya which had spices or roots or something like that in it. Ein bo mishum asufi. Then it's not an asufi. You don't have to worry that he was abandoned because of a psul that he had, because obviously someone was caring for the child, and therefore that this child is allowed to marry ksherim even on a drabanan level. Tali b'dikli, if you found him hanging on a dekel tree, or matil lechaya, if an animal could have reached him and taken him from there, yesh bo mishum asufi. That's an abandoned child who no one was caring for. But v'im lav, but if they put him in a safe place on the dekel tree where no animal would have been able to get to him, ein bo mishum asufi. Then the child is cared for enough that you assume he's not an asufi. Zardisa, a tree of Zarda, is smicha l'masav, it's close to the ear, close to the city, yesh bo mishum asufi. That is an asufi, because since he's put in a place where it's dangerous, we assume no one cared about him. Vim lav, but if he's not close to the city, ein bo mishum asufi, it's a less dangerous area, and therefore it's not the child is not an asufi, he's kosher, even midraban and lava bakal. Beknishta smichta l'masa, if you found him in a shul near the city, ushchichi be'rabim, and it's a populated area, ein bo mishum asufi, it's not a problem of an asufi because he was cared for. It's not a dangerous area of Vimlav, but if there aren't a lot of people around there, so a base Knesset, so that's just outside the city where there are not a lot of people, is assumed to be a place of mazikim. So yesh bo mishum asufi. That is an asufi. That's a child who was abandoned and not cared for. Amar Amemar, high pira de sufli, in a hole that you in the ground that they put date seeds for animals to eat, and that's where you find the child. Yesh bo mishum asufi. That's obviously an abandoned child no one was caring for. But if you find him in a little boat where his mother left him in like a little raft, charifta dinahara, in the middle of the river where the boats pass by all the time, ein bo mishum asufi. You don't assume that he's an asufi. That's why his mother dafka put him where boats pass by. Maybe someone would find him and would take care of him. But pepishri, if he was put in a place where it's not the where it's like a low area in the water in the river where boats don't pass by, yesh bo mishum asufi. Then the child is an asufi. Tzidei rishos harabim, ein bo mishum asufi. You find him on the sides of the rishos harabim, he's not an asufi because he was being protected, put in a safe place. But rishos harabim, if he was put in rishos harabim, yesh bo mishum asufi, then obviously no one was caring for him. That's a very dangerous place to put a child. Amar Ravu b'shnei ravon, ein bo mishum asufi. If it's years of famine, then it's not an asufi. So says Gemara, hadar Rava aheya. Which of the previous halachos is Rava commenting on when he says if it's years of famine, it's not an asufi? Ilem rishos rabim. If you want to tell me the case of rishos rabim, I did shnei ravon katolay. What? Normally, a child left in rishos rabim is an asufi. Oh, but if it's years of famine, then he's not. What? Because people kill their children that are perfectly kosher during years of famine? Doesn't make sense. Velat sidei rishos rabim. No, maybe he's talking about the case of where you left the baby on the sides of the rishos rabim. That's why if it's years of famine, then it's not an asufi. Well, my year shnei ravon, I feel below shnei ravon. You don't need it to be years of famine for it not to be an asufi. We said when it's left on the tzidei rishos rabim, that's a fairly safe place to leave a child, and therefore we anyway assume that the child's not an asufi. Elakiyit mar derava ahadar mervidam rabbi abba mervidam barzivdi amar rav. Rather, Rav's comment was said on the following halacha. Kol zman shebeshuk aviviin ma ne'amanim alav. So long as the child is in the shuk, his father and mother are still believed to identify that's their child. They could say that this is their child. But nesaf min ashuk, once the child has already been gathered from the shuk, ein ne'amanim alav. They're no longer believed to say that it's their child. My taima, what's the difference between before he's nesaf, after he's nesaf? Amarava hol v'yatza alav shem asufi. Once he's already nesaf, once someone picked him up, he already is called an asufi. And it's on that amaravu v'shnei ravon afal pishan nesaf min ashuk avim ne'amanim alav, that if it's years of famine, then even though he already was gathered and picked up from the shuk, his parents are still believed to say that this is our child, because there's a reasonable explanation as to why they abandoned him. They had nothing to feed him. They were hoping someone else would see him and would have rachmanis on him. Amar Rav Chista. So now that we had this comment of the Gemara, that once he's already been gathered, the parents lose their ne'amanis under normal circumstances. So the Rav Chista comments, shlosh ne'amanim li'alter. There are three people who have ne'amanis only immediately, but once some time passes, they lose their ne'emanos. Eluhain, Asufi, Chaya, a midwife, and Upoteres Chavroseha, and a woman who patters her friend from an Isser Nida. What are these cases? Asufi Adamer, we already explained the Asufi case. What's the limited ne'emanos of a Chaya, of a midwife? Titania. Chaya ne'emanos lomer zeyatz arishon zeyatz sheni. The midwife is believed to identify who the firstborn is. But medvar mamurim, if they're twins. But medvar mamurim shloyatz of a chazra. That's only if she didn't leave the room. But if she leaves the room, comes back and says, oh yeah, I remember that one was first. She can't tell the difference. There's no way she knows which one was first. She loses her ne'emanos. Only if it's right there on the spot, she's believed. Once she's not right there on the same spot, she's not believed. Might be naive, isn't that what the Tanakhama said? What if she stayed in the room but turned around? So that's what Blazer would say. Even then, she wouldn't be believed. She has to be looking at the kids the whole time. She's believed to then identify who's the Bukhar. And what's the third case? Poteris chavroseha mahi ditnan. We learned in the Mishnah, shalosh shoshim shayoshenus mitachas, v'nim tzadam tachas achzmen, kulam tameh. So if you have three women all in the same bed, and blood is found on the bed, we assume they're all tameh. But gachasmen didn't say tameh, but if one of them did a bedika and found that she's tameh, he tameh v'kulam taharos, then she's tameh, and the rest of them, we could be told of the tum in her, the rest of them are taharos. Amar of chista, shabat kasmek shir veses. But that's only if the bedika was done right after they found the blood. After a certain amount of time, that ne'amanah, so to speak, that with that assumption that that blood is associated with her, that assumption goes away. So those are the three examples where you have ne'amanah immediately, but as soon as it's no longer immediate, the ne'amanah goes away. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up tomorrow discussing more about the ne'amanah of a chaya, of a midwife.